There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
Welcome to the Hardwood Handicappers Podcast.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game, and they never got the girls in high school, and they just want to get in the game.
With your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
See, the thing is, you guys look at me, you see the backwards hat, the gray socks, the funky outfit, and you say, now this guy's a chump, am I right?
No, f***ing geek.
I'm a f***ing geek.
Only on the VSIN Podcast Network.
Hey folks, what's up? Welcome into another edition of Hardwood Handicappers, flying solo this Tuesday night. So, there's a lot of good information, I think, to get to right now. Like I said, recording it this Tuesday night, so the Celtics are in the middle of their game with the Los Angeles Lakers. So I'll have this up late Tuesday for your Wednesday listening pleasure. I have another one coming up later in the week. So, a lot to get to, a lot to discuss, a lot of news over the last couple of days in the NBA that is worth touching on, a big picture, small picture, and a lot of trends and just number of things to discuss too. So I wanted to kick this thing off, tip it off, because I guess it's a basketball pod, talking about a little bit of what we have seen from the totals market. So obviously, for those of you who are listening to this podcast, you've been following the NBA from a betting perspective, which means you've been following these totals. And as we know, at the beginning of the season, totals were a big story. We'll put it that way, a very big story. Well, second consecutive week in which totals have taken the week, folks. And this is something that I brought up with Aaron Renning. We talked about this when he joined us on the podcast. All right. The fact that, look, these totals are getting lower. These offenses are getting better and that these were going to meet and ultimately cause a rash of games going over the total. Were they going to hit at a 60% clip? Well, not entirely sure for the rest of the season, but totals were going to win more often than not. Sure enough, this past week, another winning week for overs. We can now make it 58-40-1 to the over over the last 2 weeks. We'll say that again, 58-40-1 to the over the last 2 weeks. The gap dramatically closed on the season for totals now. A gap that was 61% to the unders near season's beginning, is now at 54.4% to the under. So again, while unders still have the edge over the last 2 weeks, this has been a dramatic shift to games now going over the total. And there's a couple of things, right? We talked about that and mentioned them briefly. If you look at average offensive rating in non-garbage time minutes as tracked by Cleaning the Glass, as of Tuesday, the average offensive rating in non-garbage time minutes at 109.1, it's a season high. We're talking about the free throw rate evening out a little bit, 17.7 free throws made every 100 possessions. And then that coincides with the totals, as we talked about, right? You know, like bottoming out at 214.1 2 weeks ago, the week prior, week after that, getting to about 215.5 on average that week in terms of closing numbers. So all of these things are meeting in the middle to create this push toward the overs. So again, just like with the unders, right? Although the unders had a very, very strong start to the season, look, there is going to be a regression to the mean for these overs. Doesn't mean you start hammering away at overs in every single game. But it does mean that these teams are getting better and that these games are a little bit more higher scoring. So as we figured, this was going to start to come to fruition, and it totally has. The other thing worth discussing over the last week of action, and I wrote about this in Point Spread Weekly, a home court advantage. So I thought it was pretty interesting that for about 2-3 weeks, we'll call it 3 weeks, home court advantage had really peaked, had been really strong. Home court advantage in the 3 weeks prior to this had peaked at about 3 points, right, in terms of its value. So again, when you're talking about these point spreads, right, if you want to find out what a team is on a neutral, always look at the number and then subtract the home court from that and you can get it, right? So for example, for those who are listening, looks like on Wednesday, Indiana Pacers projecting to be a 4-point favorite on the overnight right now. So for home court, we subtract 3 from that. Indiana, at least according to the market as of right now, 1 point better than the New York Knicks on a neutral. Now, we'll get to that in a moment because I don't think that's the case, and I would think that that is probably going to head in the direction of the New York Knicks. But regardless, I bring this up because, so home court advantage has been pretty strong, but not so much the case this last week, despite the fact that the Memphis Grizzlies handed a Oklahoma City Thunder team a 73-point loss, and Grizzlies were at home, doesn't matter. Road teams had a really strong week. Road teams have kind of been trending in terms of the last 2 weeks, having some pretty strong performances, and sure enough, home court advantage is now evened out to just being worth 2 points. And I would say, just given what we know, right, and again, this kind of coincides with offenses getting better, the game's getting higher scoring, which means both teams, right, home team and away team, are just getting used to the flow of everything. Home courts are not going to be as strong. Remember, this was a season, right? This is the first season we've had since the end of, man, when did this damn pandemic start? 2020, right? The end of the 2019-2020 season in which we've had, right, full home arenas. So home court figured to be strong early on. That was the case, but this is starting to even out. So for those scoring at home, for those who are making numbers, I would say that right now the numbers are telling us that home court is worth 2 points, and I would venture a guess that as these teams have gotten used to the hostile environments that they weren't used to for a while, that this is going to probably stay strong at about 2 points for the rest of the season. Don't think it would get to one. I think we're going to stay at two for the entirety of the season, but at least at this point right now, home court, strong 2-point advantage for home court teams, which is, I think it's strong, just considering the fact that, like, look, a travel is much more of an impactful thing in the NBA, right, than the NFL. It's ridiculous. You could make an argument, actually, that road teams have an advantage as opposed to home teams with how crazy it's been. But regardless, in the NBA, home court does have some sort of inherent advantage, just given the regular season and the nature of it. In the postseason, not so much. But in the regular season, it totally does, given the situations you catch some of these teams in. So I would expect this to stay at two. So that's kind of the news of the last 2 weeks. Again, overs trending very strongly over the last 2 weeks. Can't wait to keep track of this week and see what it is. But again, for those, reiterate one more time, 58-40-1 to the over over the last 2 weeks. And home court advantage now down to being worth 2 points. And I would expect that to be strong as we move forward. So a couple of bits of news to go over in the NBA before we get to some big picture, just some future stuff I wanted to touch on really quickly in the awards market. But CJ McCollum, out with a collapsed lung, wanted to start here, work our way around the association. McCollum suffered the injury, the loss to Boston that was on Saturday. Portland's extremely shorthanded now, right? And they get Golden State on Wednesday. We're talking about Anthony Simons, Ben McLemore, Cody Zeller, questionable to play. Damian Lillard has already been ruled out. And Lillard should probably be back later this week. About 6-7 days ago, was ruled out for 10 days. So you would expect near the end of this week, probably about Thursday or Friday. I haven't looked ahead of their schedule, but that's around the time that you would expect Damian Lillard to be back on the floor. But it's like now, right, not only do we have these injuries, but like what do we do with Portland? They're 1-6 straight up and against the spread in the last 7 games. 0-3 straight up and against the spread their last 3. By the way, those 3 games have come at home. So it's not like this team has been playing on the road where they still just cannot catch a break. They're currently 10th of the Western Conference. I would think that this team is going to be a pretty solid candidate to miss the postseason. Now, you always want to check your house rules, but remember, miss the postseason means they can make it to the play-in tournament as long as they're not within the final 8 seeds, right? That means they miss the postseason. So make it to the play-in, but lose in the play-in. I think this would be something worth looking at. ESPN's BPI projections give them a 40.1% chance to make the playoffs. So building a line off of just those projections would say the price tag on them to make the playoffs is +149. So if you're dealing with, like, you know, 20-cent line or so, we're talking about $1.70-ish. That would be worth, I think, investing in with the Portland Trailblazers if, when this is rehung, it is going to be at that $1.70 price tag. I was shopping around. I couldn't find a prop on that. DraftKings have been updating them regularly, but Portland's off the board. We'll get to reasons why. Injuries have something to do with it, but 40.1% chance to mix the playoffs or to make the playoffs, plus 150. It seems kind of strong, just given what we have seen from the Portland Trailblazers, and given the teams that are around them in the Western Conference play-in race, right? Like, I feel, unless like the Sacramento Kings are going to make a push, the Portland Trailblazers should feel confident in their ability to make it to the play-in. But if they don't make it out of where they're at right now, which is in that 9-10 range, they're going to have to play on the road, right? At least once. And that's if, right, we're talking about the 10 seed winning a game and all of a sudden they get to host that, right? Regardless. So they're going to have to play on the road. And then you get to, excuse me, not the 10 seed winning a game. You understand what I'm saying. They're going to have to play on the road. Bar none, period. They're going to have to play on the road, being a 9 or a 10 seed. But regardless, this is a team that's 1-10 straight up and against the spread on the road. So if they have to play on the road and those road struggles continue as we get to the end of the season, that's a less than beneficial situation for them. And then again, to note, as I was kind of rambling there for a second, you get the teams around them in the Western Conference, which is the Dallas Mavericks, the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves, all currently sitting at 7-8-9. And by the way, the Clippers, Lakers, not really that far out from the play-in. The Grizzlies, not that far out from the play-in. The bane of my existence, by the way, the Memphis Grizzlies, who should be in the play-in, so you can add that team to the mix. Out of all of those teams, they're the weakest power-rated team, and by my numbers at least. So looking at a really small price, if you can find it, and I'm going to be shopping for it, for Portland to miss the playoffs, right, in the range, like my buy price is about $1.70. If you can find that, if that's rehung over at a couple of spots, I think that's worth investing in at this point of the season because there is no savior coming. Although, and this is the right, this is the caveat, I guess, of the Portland Trailblazers, there's a lot of noise around Portland, man. Now, I think it's a negative, but there is a lot of stuff going on off the court with the Portland Trailblazers that just doesn't seem conducive to making a push and making the playoffs and turning this thing around. But we get the report. I don't know if any of you read it yet. I would recommend it if you're an ESPN insider. Adrian Wojnarowski on Lillard's future and the situation of the front office for Portland, right? For those who don't know, which I would assume you're listening to a basketball betting podcast, you probably do. But for those who don't, right, GM gets fired. So there's a vacancy in an interim GM that is running the show right now for the Portland Trailblazers. Portland is in the process of looking and vetting and hiring potentially a general manager. But now you're talking about Damian Lillard, who wants a two-year, $107 million contract extension in the summer, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. That would be tacked on to a contract that is already through the 2024-2025 season, meaning that they would have to pay him if they gave him that extension through his 35- and 36-year-old seasons. Doesn't seem, according to Adrian Wojnarowski's report, that not only is the current construction of Portland's front office a little hesitant to do that, it seems like any potential GM candidates are balking at the fact that they want to give him a two-year extension, right? Because, look, he's a little injury-prone this year. The play has kind of come down. He had a really bad Olympics in the summer. He has not played very well this year. I think it's, like, look, at the end of the day, it might not seem like it, but that's still a relatively short sample size, and he is banged up with this abdomen injury, so he can come back and be perfectly fine. But regardless, there is some hesitancy by the Portland Trailblazers and potential GM candidates to invest in Damian Lillard at this point in a long-term deal that would pay him through his age 36-year-old season. So then this is the crazy part about it, right? So then you get all of the noise that Damian Lillard wants to play with Ben Simmons or Jaylen Brown, right? And Ben Simmons liking posts on Instagram in which that says, you know, Damian Lillard wants to play with Ben Simmons. Here's the problem, though. If you're the Portland Trailblazers, who, by the way, might be getting sold as well, according to some rumors, are you allowing your interim GM to pull the trigger on trading for Ben Simmons at this point right now? If you can even construct a deal that is beneficial for your team? So I just think there's so much noise around the Portland Trailblazers right now, on top of already them being a statistically poor team defensively, a poor road team at this point right now, that again, kind of bringing this back to the main point, looking at this team to miss the postseason, I think would really be, as the kids say, a plus EV type of bet if we're getting in the range of that $1.70 again. And that's basing that off of the ESPN BPI projections. And that would be, I think, a pretty sweet deal. I would assume that once these numbers come back up, it's going to be over $2. It likely should be over $2. But if it's under that price and it's in that range of $1.70, that's, I think, a playable price there for the Portland Trailblazers to miss the postseason. So we'll see, man. Like, it's a fascinating situation. I would not be buying low on Portland hoping that they get Ben Simmons. So I'm just going to say that right now. Again, interim GM is not making that move. You're going to wait for your GM of the future to come in, assess the situation, and make that move. You're not going to allow a guy who's probably not going to get the job to make a massive move that alters the face of your franchise for years and years to come and then hire a GM and be like, here you go, bro. So I think that this is not going to be a move that's made for Portland before the trade deadline.
This is the Hardwood Handicappers Podcast. Interact with the show on Twitter at me, JVT, at Roach underscore 97, and at VSIN Live.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, with that, other news in the NBA. TJ McConnell undergoes surgery on his hand. He's done for an extended period. And so, like, we can get into, like, the specifics of TJ McConnell in terms of him as a player and what he has meant for the Indiana Pacers. And look, TJ McConnell's a really good player. And according to Cleaning the Glass right now, in terms of what he's done for the Indiana Pacers this season, though, it hasn't been his best year at this point. With him out on the floor, their defensive rating balloons by about 10.5 points every 100 possessions. His efficiency differential, negative 13.4, or when he's on the floor, the net differential, the net rating of Indiana gets worse by about 13.4 points every 100 possessions. He has dragged the offense down. They average 2.9 points fewer per 100 possessions on offense. So hasn't been a good year for TJ McConnell. In general, he has always been a solid player. He's always been a positive on offense, but has not been the case this season. And overall, so if you were to tell me, all right, it's just McConnell is being hurt. Well, I think you can kind of work your way through that if you're Indiana. Not the problem. The problem for Indiana is the latest report from Shams Charania, which says, quote, Pacers potentially move to rebuild, receptive to trade talks on Caris LeVert, Domantas Sabonis, and Miles Turner. So it does seem like Indiana is looking for some trade partners for some of their key pieces. And it sucks because Indiana, if you guys remember, I talked about it on this podcast. For anybody who reads the Work and Point Spread Weekly, I wrote about it. Indiana's got the statistical profile of a team that was going to turn things around. Cleaning the Glass's win differential metric, they're dead last with about 4.5 fewer wins than they should at this point right now. That is brutal. 10-16. They're 10-16 with the 12th best net rating in non-garbage time minutes. Think about that. They have the 12th best net rating in non-garbage time minutes, right? Well above average team in net rating. And yet they're 10-16, six games below 500. So it speaks to the luck that this team has had. And if you look around, you know, to miss the playoffs, that was initially where I looked right now, because if they're going to start selling, this is going to be a rebuild and this is not going to be a playoff team. Minus 280 over at DraftKings. They also took down the seeding props, right? DraftKings, I don't know if they're going to put them back up, but for the last couple of weeks, the first couple of weeks of the NBA season, DraftKings had seeding props, adjusted win totals, things like that. The adjusted win totals are still up, but Indiana, it looks like, is going to be a seller. And the other part of the report is that your rookies, including Chris Duarte, are going to get more playing time. They want to play and build around these guys, obviously, spend high draft picks on them. And look, I think the one, I guess, big angle to take from this is potentially life for Chris Duarte to win Rookie of the Year again. I've got a ticket on him at 40-1 the first 2 weeks of the season. For those who don't remember, he got to as low as 9-1 after a really hot start. But now he's back to that 40-1 price tag. So maybe more playing time if they do end up selling off some of these guys. It's going to allow you to invest a little bit in Duarte to win Rookie of the Year, and you have a pretty good ticket and you could sell off of it or do whatever, depending on the jurisdiction that you're in, what options that you have. That could be a potential. And look, I mean, he's pretty solid, plus 1.2 efficiency differential. It's obviously much better than TJ McConnell. 13.1 points per game, 4.1 rebounds, 2 assists on 41.9% shooting from the floor. So he's got a decent profile. The problem for him is the three rookies at the top of the board have been absolutely fantastic, and I just don't think there's any way that he's catching them because they have been downright dominant. And we're going to talk about Cade Cunningham, Scotty Barnes, and Evan Mobley coming up in a little bit. But the news there, McConnell undergoing surgery on his hand, and reports are that the Pacers are on the verge of selling. Other news, and this is more like immediate impactful news, Jimmy Butler aggravated the tailbone injury, so he's out on Wednesday. We don't know how long it's going to be. Just know that he's officially done for Wednesday's matchup, which is, you know, it kind of sucks. The Miami Heat, who had at one point looked like potentially the best team in the Eastern Conference and maybe in the NBA, have been ravaged by injuries. Markieff Morris, of course, has been out since getting whiplash in that kerfuffle with Nikola Jokic. We know that Bam Adebayo has surgery, right? So he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. I think it's until about January that we know that Bam Adebayo is going to be out there. We've seen Miami slip down the standings, and we've seen him slip statistically. And now 8th in net rating and non-garbage time minutes, a plus 3.2, just barely ahead of Atlanta. 13th in offense, 11th in defense. That defense is the big slip, right? Because at one point, they looked like they were going to be the best defensive team in the NBA. But obviously, Butler missing time in his own right is very important for this team. But this was already a really thin team, right? I talked about this at the beginning of the season. One of the things that bothered me about Miami was it's great that you have a 20-point-per-game scorer off the bench, but then your next less scorer after that was Markieff Morris at 7 points a game, and he hasn't been playing. And so the thin nature of this roster is showing up in a pretty big way, and it's showing up in the results at this point right now. So you don't really fault them. Like, I don't think I'm selling on Miami stock. I don't really have that much. But just because they're 1-4 in their last 5 games and actually only have 2 covers since November 18th. A lot of this has to do with injury. A lot of it has to do with availability. But I also do think that this Miami team was not as good, right, as the early returns were telling us that they were. So Wednesday against Milwaukee, who, by the way, is the best team in the West, or in the Eastern Conference when fully healthy, that's going to have some potential to kind of get ugly with no Jimmy, no Bam, and a we'll call it scuffling roster offensively, I think, given its current construction. And I'm just really curious to see how long Jimmy Butler's going to be out, right? Because this is one that had kept him out for a minute. You know, we saw him again, right, against Memphis, but he hadn't played since November 27th. That was that game against the Chicago Bulls that they won. And then he comes back, doesn't play that much at all, puts up a pretty good stat line in a short amount of time, but then ultimately has to leave that game against the Memphis Grizzlies. So we'll see what the timeline is going to be for Jimmy. Should also note that Markieff Morris is nearing a return. They had footage of him. I think it was Ira Winderman who put it up, that he was out on the floor putting up shots. So he'll come back soon. Jimmy Butler's not out for the long haul, but keep that in mind in your handicap as you move forward with the NBA. And then last but not least, DeMar DeRozan. Dude, the Chicago Bulls, man. I am telling you, I got to go back. I'm going to go back over the next couple of days and see what my record is in terms of betting against and or on. I don't know how many times I've bet on the Bulls this year. I can't remember off the top of my head. I don't think it's been that many, if at all. I know that I've bet against them quite a bit. And I don't think I've won a single bet betting against the Chicago Bulls. Like, it is incredible the way that this team has dealt with adversity. It is incredible the way they continue to win games no matter what is held is put up in front of them. You know, case in point, the other night, no Alex Caruso, no Kobe White. Nikola Jokic is back for the Nuggets. Let's go. Let's bet against Chicago. Let's take four. Got the good number, right? Not the best number because it closed 3.5, but got four, close 3.5. Feel good. Denver, 1-point lead. Kind of, you know, just tinkering with like a 1 to 6 point lead throughout the entire contest. And then near the end of that third quarter, actually, let me look up the lineup because this was, it was absolutely brutal. By the way, I'm looking this up. A site I would highly recommend for those who don't know. I'm sure a lot of you do. Popcornmachine.net. It is an awesome site. It gives you the rotations for teams and what they were like in games, right? The game flow of it, when guys went out, what lineups were on the floor during scoring runs, all of those things. It gives you an idea of it. But popcornmachine.net, it is one of my favorite sites to use in a lot of these games. So let's see. So according to popcornmachine.net, so Nikola Jokic, let's see. So Nikola Jokic is on the floor until the 9:31 mark of the third quarter. Okay, so he leaves the floor, and the second that he leaves the floor, the Chicago Bulls outscore the Denver Nuggets by 12 points. But it's too late. By the time he comes back with 9:46 left to go in the fourth, it's already all said and done. They get absolutely toasted, and they eventually lose that game. So, and they don't cover. It was incredible to watch. But anyway, bring up Chicago because DeMar DeRozan is going to be out for at least 10 days in terms of COVID protocol. We already know that Kobe White's been dealing with this. And, of course, we know that Alex Caruso, a little dinged up. It didn't sound like the injury that he is suffering from was going to be long-term. So maybe it was just a one-game type of deal. But, again, DeMar DeRozan has been absolutely incredible for the Chicago Bulls, right? A guy that was potentially an MVP candidate. Still very well could be, by the way. I shouldn't even say potentially. But, I mean, I don't doubt that the Bulls are going to be able to deal with this in any way whatsoever. Given how bad I've been burned by Chicago, I have no doubt that this team will probably go off and win like four consecutive games without DeMar DeRozan. But to give you an idea of DeMar DeRozan's worth this season, according to Cleaning the Glass, with DeMar DeRozan on the floor, Chicago Bulls plus 8.8 net rating, averaging 113.8 points per 100 possessions, 9 garbage time minutes, only allowing 105, and only turning it over offensively, by the way, 12.8% of their possessions. Very good. When he is off the floor, plus 8.8 goes to negative 3.5. Their offense drops off a cliff at 107.7. So DeRozan's insanely important for this team. And if this is going to be another extended absence for a guy like Kobe White, then I am, look, like I'm already starting to maybe talk myself back into betting against the Chicago Bulls again, but they're going to be taking, the problem is, you know, in their next matchup, let me see what they got up next, because I don't think they're playing on Wednesday. Yeah, they're not playing on Wednesday. So, look, I am starting to potentially talk myself into playing against the Chicago Bulls without DeMar DeRozan on the court, but I probably won't be getting content playing against this team. They've burned me too many times, man. It has been impossible to get a read on the Chicago Bulls.
This is the Hardwood Handicappers Podcast, only on the VSiN Podcast Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been incredible what they've been able to do. I've been so impressed with them. So we'll see what's going to happen with the Chicago Bulls, but DeMar DeRozan health and safety protocols. I personally think it makes them much worse, but I haven't had a good read in Chicago in any way whatsoever. So with that, let's talk about one more topic before we get out of here, just to update this. And I do feel somewhat confident in this play too. I think this is pretty incredible what we have seen up to this point. And it's worth talking about too, because I wrote about this in Point Spread Weekly, and it's definitely a topic worth expanding on. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, right, and what they have been able to do as of late, and it ties into Chicago as well, has been absolutely incredible. Cleveland at this point right now, 8-0 against the spread their last eight games. They're 18-5-2 against the spread on the season. Best cover rate in the league ahead of Golden State. And the market refuses to budge. Just refuses to budge. And you look at their numbers, they are an elite team, man. An absolutely elite team. In terms of defensive rating, at this point of the season, they're fourth. They're only giving up 105.9 points per 100 possessions. They have the 13th best net rating in the NBA, plus 1.5. Their offense has some issues. They're never going to be confused with the Warriors of their heyday, right, in terms of offensive efficiency. But this is a team that is clearly not one of the bottom dwellers in the association. But on a night-to-night basis, they consistently get priced like it. And it has been amazing, amazing to watch the market just refuse to budge on how good the Cleveland Cavaliers are. And I'm kicking myself because I've bet on them a couple of times during this solid run that they've been on and a couple of times during the NBA season. And I even wrote about in the NBA guide, if you go back and look it up, that, you know, I thought this was going to be a solid team, took the over in the guide. But holy crap, man, was not expecting this and was not expecting how insane Evan Mobley would be. With him on the court, a plus 1.6 net rating. Talk about a defensive rating of 103.2 in his time on the court. I think he is incredible, man. Absolutely incredible with what he's been able to do on the defensive end of the floor. Defensive efficiency improves by 6.6 points every 100 possessions with him out there. And he needs some help on the offensive end, right? But when he is out there, the difference he makes in terms of defense. How about this? According to Cleaning the Glass, when he's out on the floor, opponent shooting within 4 feet of the basket drops off by 6.7%. All mid-range shots in terms of accuracy drop off by 13.1% when he is out on the floor. He is nuts, man. In terms of the Cavaliers' half-court defensive efficiency, it improves by 11.4 points every 100 plays with Evan Mobley on the court. The effect that he has had on this team in terms of their ability to win, in terms of their ability to defend, it has been absolutely insane what he's been able to do. And he is now the favorite at DraftKings to win the award. He is 2-1. He's ahead of Cade Cunningham, who's the next choice of plus 225, and Scotty Barnes, who is plus 275. And both of those, by the way, really quality candidates, right? But if you're talking about just like efficiency differential, which is a very, very limited way to measure this race, right? But it gives us an idea of an impact and what a guy's impact is on his team from a rookie standpoint. Cade Cunningham is the guy who would have the best case to supplant Evan Mobley, right? Net differential right now, 6.7, a plus 6.7. He improves Detroit's defense by 5.2 points every 100 possessions. Their offense improves by 1.4 points every 100 possessions. He's been on a pretty good run as well. Man, he is good. He's got such a quiet game. It's kind of weird watching him. Like the other day, watching the OKC game, you know, it was like a very understated 28 points and 11 rebounds from him. He was 6 of 11 from three-point range. Boy, oh boy, that three-point shot looks really good. And Cade Cunningham was my pick to win Rookie of the Year in the guide, right? And it looks like it was chalky at first because he was the favorite, but he has come on strong, and he is a legitimate candidate. In the last four games, he scored at least 15 or more points in every single one of those games after a little bit of a three-game slump in which he totaled just 14 total points and shot really poorly from the floor. I think it was 3 of 29 or 5 of 29, something like that. But Cade Cunningham has been done a really good job. And I do think that the Scotty Barnes, like the love for Scotty Barnes, has cooled off quite a bit. One, because Evan Mobley, and this is the thing too, right? When I brought up Evan Mobley on a couple, like I think it was like three or four podcasts ago when I made the bet at 3-1, he has been like the apple of a lot of media members' eyes. That is always an important deal when it comes to, you know, kind of sniffing out the award market, is listening to these podcasts, getting a feel of what these guys are watching, these voters are watching, and what they feel. And for two straight weeks before his injury, it was all about Evan Mobley, man. And he is back and they are winning again. So keep an eye on the Rookie of the Year market. We kind of touched on it briefly with Chris Duarte. But I do think that right now, Mobley's in the driver's seat. He should be. And Cade Cunningham is right on his heels because Cunningham has been absolutely fantastic. But I think it's between these three, maybe an outside shot with a guy like Duarte. But look out for Mobley, Cunningham, or Barnes to take this award home at this point right now. With that, all right, we're going to put this one up in a bow. We'll be back on Friday. Really appreciate you tuning in, checking it out. Like, rate, review, subscribe. You can hit me up on Twitter at @MeJVT. And we will see you in a couple of days on Harvard Handicappers. Thanks, folks.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.